So last Monday, as we began our Lent course, we started to explore the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit within the life of the believer. And I hope what you picked up on was the wildly extensive, all the time, constant, wall-to-wall, interactive action of the Holy Spirit within the life of the believer, drawing us to God, transforming us to be more like Jesus. If we let him, if we pay attention to the action of the Holy Spirit, who is already at work within us. And the thing we're going to be exploring tonight is the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. We're going to continue to build our foundations, moving towards practical action. That's what we're doing. So let's begin with some definitions. When we talk about prayer, what do we actually mean? Is prayer the God bless mummy, God bless daddy of our childhoods? Yes, that is prayer. But prayer is bigger than that. Is prayer our intercessions at church? Or the fervent words of longing for a car parking space? Yes, that's prayer too. But again, prayer is much bigger, more substantial even than that. This evening, I want to suggest that prayer is simply our lived relationship with God, accomplished under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That this is prayer. Remember again the model of what it means to be a Christian that we explored last week, in the self-in God model as opposed to the self-outside God model. The self-outside God model, which is kind of the understanding that I had as a child, where prayer is what I do. It's the script to God that I compose. It's my raising of my heart and mind to God through my own efforts. Prayer are the words thrown at the sky that if I get them right, God will reward me. That's kind of what I thought prayer was. But what of this traditional understanding of prayer is a pale imitation of what prayer actually truly is. What if it actually almost misses the entire point of prayer, as it neglects the spectacular change and transformation brought about by the coming of Jesus and especially by the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit into the lives of everyone who believes? And that's where the self in God model comes from. This is completely uncontroversial. This is what the New Testament states of what a Christian is. For if the self in God model more clearly, more accurately reveals what is truly going on, then we have to change our idea about what the nature of prayer truly is. For what if prayer isn't what I do to God? What if prayer is instead what the Holy Spirit, who is already within me, elicits from me? And within me, an action which in turn forms my relationship with God. If this is so, then God does this. God does prayer within me. And do you know what? We see this prayer as an action of the Holy Spirit bursting from Jesus' heart all the time in the New Testament. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this is what you were pleased to do. And it was the Apostle Paul, no less, who highlighted the centrality of the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer in his epistle to the Romans, clearly presenting the inner dynamic of our union with Christ through his Spirit when it comes to prayer. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And why is this so important? Well, it means that the Holy Spirit is already far more dynamic in our lives and in the lives of everyone who believes than we'd ever thought before. If you're anything like me, you'd always assume that the Holy Spirit was kind of kept for best. It would be active simply when we were doing courageous, holy things. The Holy Spirit was more miracles than Monday mornings. But what if this is not the case at all? What if the infinite, all-powerful Holy Spirit is at work in our lives all the time, even when we do the most basic things, like trying to find the parking space? What if the Holy Spirit is in us and working with us then? Well, if this is true, and I believe it is, do you know what this means? It means that there is more. There is so much more than we can know of God, so much more than we can experience of God, if it is God who is already at work within me, initiating even my most fundamental desires for God and yearning to do what is right. For if God is already here within you and me, not lost in some kind of starlit heaven, then God is closer to me now than I ever dreamt possible. And from the pages of the New Testament, we even have a good idea about what the Holy Spirit longs to do through you and me. Remember, I define prayer as not just words, but our lived out relationship with God, accomplished under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But to do what? Sometimes we don't know what the Holy Spirit is there for. Well, sometimes churches, they really do know what the Holy Spirit is there for, to give them health and wealth. But actually, that's not the point. To do what? Well, from the pages of the New Testament, as God is a source of love, the Holy Spirit longs to empower us to love. Empower us to love. As the Apostle John wrote, "My dear people, let us love one another, since love comes from God. And everyone who loves is begotten of God and knows God. Anyone who fails to love can never have known God, because God is love. No one has ever seen God, but as long as we love one another, God will live in us, and his love will be complete in us, because he lets us share his Spirit." Because he lets us share his Spirit. And the Apostle Paul echoes John, both in asserting that all love comes from God, the love God has poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given us, but then he underlines the impact of this love, how it is the Holy Spirit who then brings us into a hitherto unknown, intimate love relationship with God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, by the work of the Holy Spirit within us, we cry, "Abba, Father, Daddy." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And this Spirit-enabled love of God then overflows into love of others and of ourselves, as Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. "Be completely humble and gentle, bearing patiently, be patient, bearing one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Churches, you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." If firstly the Holy Spirit seeks to enable us to love, then second, this work of the Holy Spirit within us, the Holy Spirit seeks to guide us in the best ways to express this love. The The Holy Spirit guides us in the best way to express this love. In John 14, all this I've spoken while I'm with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. I will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit working within you will do this. It is the Holy Spirit who enlightens, who guides, so that as the Apostle Paul told the church in Galatia, let me put it like this. If you are guided by the Spirit, you'll be in no danger of yielding to self-indulgence, since self-indulgence is the opposite of the Spirit. And the Spirit is totally against such a thing. And precisely because the two are so opposed that you do not carry out your good intentions. As the Apostle Paul put it so simply, since the Spirit is in our life, let us be directed by the Spirit. And oh boy, once sought, the Holy Spirit was not backwards in giving guidance to the early church, as recorded in the book of Acts. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit, they said, and to us, not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements, that you are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meat of strangled animals, and for sexual immorality. You do well to avoid these things. It seemed good to the Spirit, who was already at work within us. So if the Holy Spirit empowers us to love, then the same Holy Spirit guides us in how to express this love. Then thirdly, it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of strength to actually love and serve both God and others. It is the Holy Spirit who can enable you and me to work zealously both within our Christian communities and in the wider world. And our experience can be the same as the Apostle Paul, who wrote, there is a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are sorts of service to be done, but always the same Lord, working in all sorts of different ways in different people. It is the same God who is working in all of them. The particular way in which the Spirit is given to each person is for a good purpose. One may have the gift of preaching with wisdom given him by the Spirit. Another may have the gift of instruction given him by the same Spirit. Another may have the gift of faith given by the same Spirit. Another gift of healing through this one Spirit. One power of miracles. Another prophecy. Another gift of recognizing spirits. Another the gift of tongues, another the ability to interpret them. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit who distributes gifts to different people just as he chooses. And why? Why should the Holy Spirit seek to do all of this through fragile, broken people, ordinary people like you and me? Well, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, wants us to become more like Jesus. This is the end goal here. We are given the Spirit not to build a religious establishment. We're given not to be a miracle show. We're given not to gain wealth or luxury, to use God to get what we want and show those out there that we are much better than them. No, all of this Spirit, his Spirit, is to be given to accomplish what Jesus said he wanted to accomplish through all of his disciples. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When they see us, they see him. When they see us, they will see him because of the work of the Spirit. When I was growing up in church, Talk of the Holy Spirit was like sex. We didn't want to talk about it. We knew there was probably a lot of it going on, but we didn't want to talk about it in church. But what I want you to grasp, this is the whole point of what I'm saying tonight. Forget our labels of Pentecostal and all the other stuff that we have. Forget those labels. What has struck me over the last years, and the joy that I have in telling you this is amazing, and reminding myself, is the sheer ubiquity, the everyday, constant, all the time work of the Holy Spirit within the believer. How for the believer, the Holy Spirit is everywhere and does almost everything within us. From drawing us to Christ, to enabling us to pray, to facilitating a new dynamic intimacy with God, empowering us to love, and then guiding us who to love, and then strengthening us to love, both individually and as a community, so that we may be more like Jesus. All the rest of the goals out the window. So that we may be more like Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could simply appreciate what the Holy Spirit was doing amongst us, within us? If we could just notice what the Holy Spirit was doing, wouldn't that be such an encouragement?
Yes, Andrew, that would be really encouraging.
Wouldn't that be such an encouragement? If the Holy Spirit is already here, already working, already active, if we could notice that and see that happening, and then we can be part of what God is doing and have our agendas refined and changed for the God who is not waiting for us to do better and be better Christians before he will reward us with the Holy Spirit. What if the Holy Spirit was already at work? And what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do is simply to notice that. Well, that's what we're going to do in this course. Those are the tools that I want to give you. Obviously, I've been transformed into a perfect person, as you can tell. But simply being encouraged by what the Holy Spirit is doing and has been doing and will do within a broken, fragile life like mine, I have found transformative. I've never been more fearless than I am just now. I still struggle, I still have my anxieties. But actually, if God is for us, we who have nothing yet possess everything. And that's the foundation I'm building, so that we have some tools in order to listen to God at work within us already. Within us now. Now. Not when we're better. Now. Amen.